Today's daf is Shabbos daf Mem Zayin. We left off on daf Mem Vav Amud Beis. We left off with a question, but let's just mention the topics we're going to cover in today's daf. Is we're going to get into the issue of Basis L'davar HaAsr. That's going to be the first half of Amud Aleph. Second half of Amud Aleph, we're going to discuss Tikkun Kelim, which is really going to be a continuation of yesterday's discussion of taking a kli that's made of different parts and putting it together. Then before the end of the parak, this is the last daf of the parak of Parakira, we're going to discuss Gram Kiboy, doing something that indirectly is going to lead to Kiboy, and then we'll begin the discussions of Hatmana. So we left off with the question yesterday. We only gave one of the answers to the question. We were assuming that according to Rabbi Shimon has a lot of kulos when it comes to muksa. One of the things he allows being metaltal in ner that's already been extinguished. But the assumption is that if a ner is still lit, Rabbi Shimon would hold that it's usher to be metaltal such a ner. So the Gemara says, what's the reason that Rabbi Shimon holds it's usher to be metaltal in ner that's still lit? Pashtos is that he's worried that you're going to come to be mechabe it, that as you're moving the ner, you're going to come to extinguish it. But why would Rabbi Shimon be bothered that you might come to accidentally extinguish the ner? After all, that's clearly not your intention when you're being metal to the ner, and Rabbi Shimon is the one that holds davar shena miskavin is mutter. So why would Rabbi Shimon be bothered by that? The Gemara's first answer was that maybe Rabbi Shimon's heter of davar shena miskavin is much, much more limited than we originally thought. Maybe Rabbi Shimon is only matir davar shena miskavin when the potential malacha that would be violated is a malacha derabanan. But if the potential malacha that would be violated is a malacha d'oraisa, like kibui, then maybe even Rabbi Shimon is going to be machmir about a davar she'enu miskavin. At least machmir be derabanan about a davar she'enu miskavin when the potential malacha that you're playing with, that you're messing around with, is a malacha d'oraisa. Tosos asked the question in the bottom Tosos, v'im tomer da'acha b'kiboy leka isur da'oraisa. Well then, how does that fit over here? Because when you're being mechabe, it's not an isur da'oraisa over here, the Rabbi Shimon, the melach she'en tzrich l'gufahi. Because as we said, mechabe is only melach tzrich l'gufa if you're being mechabe in order to improve the wick, if you're being mechabe in order to improve something. Over here, you're just being mechabe to extinguish. So the whole melachah, even if you would do it, even if davashen miskavein were full-fledged isser, it would still only be a melacha shein sricha legufa. So it's not an isser d'oraisa that's really at risk over here. So Tosfos says Yeshlom b'dachi kamer d'chi mechavin ika isser d'oraisa kigon b'psila v'tzarech la'avava. You have to say we're talking about a wick that needs to be singed a little bit in order to make it easier to light. Afal pish zatir d'achuku. Tosfos says I recognize that this teretz is somewhat d'achuk. Habalava chiparach le'shapir harav poras. So he said, the Rav Paros is the Balatosis that he keeps on quoting in this part of the Masechta, different parts of Shas. You have different Balatosis that come up a lot more. It's not Rabbeinu Tam, but it's somebody. So he says, even though it's Dachuk, anyway, the Gemara is going to reject this idea. So that was the first answer. The first answer was maybe the heter of Davar Shein Miskavin is very, very limited. The Gemara says that can't be, because we know Rabbi Shimon applies the heter of Davar Shein Miskavin even to someone who's selling clothing, and he has shot in his clothing on his back that he's selling. And we said to Rabbi Shimon holds that it's mutter because it's davar shein miskavin. Shatness is nisr d'oraisa. So obviously Rabbi Shimon holds davar shein miskavin applies to things that are d'oraisa as well. Ella amarava, last three words on the page. Ella amarava, second answer. Hanach l'ner shemen upsila hol dinasa basis l'davar ha'aser. That maybe ner shemen upsila is different because ner shemen upsila all become a basis l'davar ha'aser. That's why you're not allowed to be metal to the ner. It's not a gezeira that you're going to come to be mechabe. It's a muktza problem. It's not a malacha problem. The problem is that the flame itself is muktza, and everything else that's connected to the flame becomes a basis l'davar ha'aser. Everything else supports the davar ha'aser. The discussion in the Achronim is what exactly is the nature of basis l'davar ha'aser? Why does something that supports a muktza item take on the status of muktza itself? So to the extent that not only is the psila, which is in direct contact with the flame, going to be a basal davar aser, but the ner and the shemen also, but what is the whole concept of basal davar aser? So some understand, based on Rashi over here in our daf, that basal davar aser is based on the idea that the davar muktza is the ikr, and everything else is tafel to it. And therefore, it's like you're carrying a flame. flame. Elamai, you can't just carry a flame. The only way to carry a flame is if you have a ner, shemen upsila, to help you carry the flame. But really what you're carrying is the flame. That's what's really functioning for you. That's what you're really using. So the flame is the ikker. Everything else is tafel to it. Others understand basla davar asr to mean not that everything is tafel to it, but that when you put a muktzah item on top of another item, it's like you're being maktzah midaito, the other item, the bottom item, because you have no access to it. There's no way you're going to be able to get it because the muktzah item is on top, and you're not allowed to move the muktzah item. So when you place a muktzah item on top of something else, you're saying that the other item is something that's not meaningful to you, that you have no intention to use over the course of Shabbos. Nafkamina might be, what if you have something that supports a muktzah item from on top? You have a muktzah item hanging from something, so does the item on top become basl davar asr? So Mishabura says yes, that a basl davar asr doesn't have to mean that the muktzah is on top of the non-muktzah. It could be that the non-muktzah is on top of the muktzah, which would seem to be more like the first side, that it's all din and tafel, ikar and tafel, not a din in losing access to it, because if it's on top, you can lift it off without moving the muktzah item at all. So that seems to be a nafkamina. Also, if they're of equal chashivos, maybe it might be a question. Meaning, what if the muktzah item is not more chashuv than the non-muktzah item? So does that become a basis l'davar aser? What is clear is that if the Mishnah Berurah writes that if you didn't put it there on purpose, if it wasn't placed there dafka bikavana, then it would not become a basis l'davar aser. Only becomes a basis, which sounds a little more like the second side. That you're being maksa midaita. Why are you being maksa midaita? Because I'm dafka placing this muksa item on top of this non-muksa item, so I'm showing I don't really care to use the non-muksa item. If it's about ikar and tafel, so even by accident it may still become tafel, although that you could argue on that side also, that it only becomes an ikar and tafel. We only view it as one unit with an ikar and tafel when you dafka connected the two items to each other. Anyway, that's the basic chakira that the Acharon discuss with regards to basis l'davar aser. But what we do see from here is that in addition to the concept of basis l'davar aser, is that a shalheves, a flame, is a davar muktza. So we've discussed that also. Why is it that a shalheves is a davar muktza? But the whole question is why, not if. We know for sure anything that is a flame is a davar muktza. So the Acharon have to try to figure out why it is that it's a davar muktza. But everything else becomes a basis to that flame. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Amar Rabbi Rumnus, Li Hiti Rebbe L'Taltal Machta Ba'Afara. Rebbe permitted me, he said, to carry a shovel with the ashes on it. Now we're assuming at this point of the Gemara that ashes are a Davra Muktza, and therefore it would seem that the shovel would be a Basas L'Davra Aser. And yet, Rebbe permitted it. So Amar Le Rabbi Zeira Le Rabbi Asi, Miyam Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, does Rabbi Yochanan really say that Rebbe would permit holding a shovel full of ashes, that a basl davar aser is not a problem? Vatna notel adam benova evan biyado, ol kalkalava evan betocha. Person is allowed to carry his child even though the child is holding a rock. He's allowed to carry a basket even though the basket has a rock inside of it. Va'amar Rabba bar Rechana, amar Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan explains, when are you allowed to carry a basket that has a rock in it? Bekalkala malaya peros haskinan. That's only if the basket doesn't only have a rock, but it also has fruits in it. Time of this papiri, halas papiri lo. So it sounds like the only reason you're allowed to move that basket is because it has, yes, it has a muksa item in it, but it also has non-muksa items, it also has fruits in it. In which case the basket becomes not a basis l'davra aser, but a basis l'davra aser, ooh, the davra mutter, something that serves as a basis for both the davra aser and the davra mutter, which is mutter, does not become mukta when it's a basis of davra aser, davra mutter. That's where Rabbi Yochanan allows carrying the basket if it has a rock, only if it also has a davra mutter inside of it. But if it doesn't have a davra mutter inside of it, then one is not allowed to carry the basket that has the rock inside of it, because there is a problem of basis. So how could Rabbi Yochanan allow carrying a shovel full full of ashes, if it's after all a basis l'davar ha'aser. If you look at Tosafos, Amar Rabbi Chanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Tema, Amai lo parach b'lav milsid Rabbi Yochanan masnisin. Is this the best source we can come up with where Rabbi Yochanan asers a basis l'davar ha'aser? This case of the basket with fruits where Rabbi Yochanan happens to explain that it needs to be basis l'davar ha'aser l'davar ha'muter. Don't we have a stronger, more direct raya without Rabbi Yochanan? Just ask from the Mishnah, the Perek Notel, the Tnan, Mol shal gabe akar min na eres akar vehinoflos vechein even shal pi achavis mata al tzida vehinofeles aval tiltul gamar asu. The Mishnah is going to say later on a kuf membeis that if you have money on a cushion, so how do you get the cushion? You have to shake it till the money falls off, or if you have a stone on a barrel, you have to lean the barrel over to the side until the stone falls off. Well, why? Obviously, you're not allowed to just remove it. You're not allowed to just be metaltel the obviously not allowed to remove the muksa item itself, but it sounds like you're not even allowed to be metaltel the item that the muksa is on directly. You have to lean it, you have to kick it, you have to shake it, but you're not allowed to just move it. You're not allowed to just be metaltel it. So don't you see from there that Abbas L'davar Asr is Asr B'Tiltel? So instead of asking a stira, Rabbi Yochanan against Rabbi Yochanan, ask a kasha. How could Rabbi Yochanan and this whole group of Amoraim allow you to carry a shovel that's full of ashes? It's against the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that there's a problem of basl davra aser. So says tells us the Mishnah is not such a kasha. V'amri dehava mina the shiny most the chashivi v'lo batli. I would think, yeah, the Mishnah is talking about money. Maybe money is very chashav and is not going to become batal, and therefore you have to do this tiltul minatzad over there. You're not allowed to do straight tiltul. The even, even a stone, shal pi hachavis, hava mina the marishu masukan liston pi hachavis, v'achavis shrich lo kaklo batla. I would think over there we're dealing with some very chashav muksa items. So when you're dealing with particularly chashav muksa items, then there's a rule of basl davar aser. But maybe when you're dealing with ashes in a shovel, how chashav are the ashes? So maybe then there wouldn't be an issue of basl davar aser. That's why we have to ask a kasha, not about a stone that's shaped just perfectly to cover a barrel, but about a random stone that's in a basket, that happens to be in a basket. So we see that in the case of the random stone in the basket, that would be a problem basl davar aser, even though the stone is not chashav. So we ask the stira in Rabbi Yochanan. That's a much stronger kasha, the stira in Rabbi Yochanan. So it says the Gemara, shtomim kshachada. So when this question was asked, so at first, when Rabbi Zeri asked the question, Rabbi Yassi stammered for a moment. Va'amar, and he gave it the following answer. The Gemara is going to have three answers to this question. So answer number one, he says, Hachanami de'ispakartin. Who says that there are only ashes in the shovel? I mean, what was our stira? We said, if you have a basket that has only a rock in it, the basket becomes a basl davar aser. You have a shovel that has ashes in it, the shovel is not a basl davar aser. There's no problem of moving the shovel. Who says the shovel has only ashes in it? Maybe the shovel has some unburned incense in it also that's still usable. It has some lavona in it. Amar Abaye kartin be'rav michashivi. Sabai says, what? With the fact that there's some small little remnants of incense, would that be chashav enough to make it a basos l'davar asur uledavar amutar? By Rebbe, such a small amount of lavona is not chashav at all. It's kilu, it's not even there. There's no way that would make it a basl davar aser davar mutter. You would need to have a davar chashav on the buses to make it a basl davar aser davar mutter. The chit heman, unless you say, yeah, maybe for Rebbe it's not so chashav because Rebbe was such an ashir, but chazula aniyim, it still counts as something because aniyim could use this lavona, they could use this incense, vatanya, but we have a brisa that tells us that we don't go based on whether anybody has a use for this item, we judge based on whether the owner has a use of this item. Big day aniyim la aniyim, big day ashirim la ashirim. In the world of tumah and tahara, when we try to figure out the tumah status of different begadim and how large a beged needs to be in order for it to be mekabel tumah, we say that if there's an ashir and there's a beged that the ashir would have no use for, but an ani might have a use for it as a patch or as something, so it's still not considered a beged for the ashir. It's only considered a beged for the ani. So you see, you go based on who the person is, not based on the item, whether it has any use for anybody. A beggar of an ani for an ashir would be completely insignificant. So bottom line is, this first answer that we tried to give, that the shovel that has ashes in it also has something else, and therefore you're allowed to be metal to the shovel because it's a basl davar asl davar mutter, can't possibly be true, because we know whose shovel it was. It was lihiter Rebbe letal tal machta ba'afara. It was a situation where Rebbe was the one calling the shots. So Rebbe was the, and for Rebbe, there's no way that those small amounts of incense would make a difference. So rather, the Gemara suggests a different answer. Just before we get to that different answer, Big Day Aniyim La Aniyim, Tos points out, so this whole idea that the beged depends on who the owner is, whether it's considered a viable beged or not, is only true in the world of tumas medris, of sitting on something, where it depends on designation as a medris. In order for, there are certain things that become tame, there's a certain type of tumah that the tumah is transferred without any direct touching, just by the fact that a zav, zava, nida, yaledis sits on them even without directly touching them, even if it's a cushion one on top of the other. But that's only if it's made for medrash, if it's made for sitting. So it's totally on being designated for that purpose. But by other tumos, it doesn't. The designation of the item doesn't really matter. Meaning for a beggar to become tame, tumas maga, or something like that, it doesn't matter whether it's miyuchad for any specific purpose. There is, so then there's a minimum shear, and it doesn't matter whether it's an ani or an ashir. So that's what Bein Tamzi is, so that this whole issue of having a sliding scale depending on who you are is only a rule within the world of tumas medrash. But anyway, back to our Gemara. So now we're going to go answer number two. How we have the stira between the case of the shovel, where apparently Rabbi Yochanan holds it's not a problem of basl davar aser, and the case of the basket with the stone, where Rabbi Yochanan holds it is a problem of basl davar aser. Elom Rabbi, Rabbi says the answer is as follows: Midi dahava agraf shel rei. The reason that you're allowed to be metaltal the shovel, it is a basal davar aser, but the reason you're allowed to be metaltal is sometimes you're allowed to be metaltal muktzah items when they're completely disgusting, and you don't want to leave them around the house because it's just completely disgusting to have around the house. Just like a graf shel rei, which is the pot that they would defecate in, that they wouldn't want anywhere around the house because it was disgusting. It was disgusting to leave it around the house. It was this klei cheres, and it smelled, and it was unusable. So the same is true with the shovel full of ashes. The ashes were disgusting. So Amar Rava, Rava says, really, that's a graf shel rei, a shovel full of ashes? Shtei tshuvas bedavra. There are two reasons why that can't be correct. Chad a graf shel rei ma'is v'hai lo ma'is. Part of the definition of graf shel rei is that it has to be disgusting. Ashes aren't disgusting. You may not have a use for them. They may not be something that's particularly useful, but it's not disgusting. Va'od graf shel rei migli v'hai michsi. And anyway, how do you think this shovel full of ashes looked? This was a shovel that they would burn incense in. The way these shovels were fashioned was that there was a cover over the shovel, and it had some holes in the cover so that when you would burn it, the fumes would come through the holes, and then you'd smell it. It wouldn't just be an exposed shovel, because then ashes would fly all over, they would fall all over the place, it would be a big mess. So it was always covered up. A graf shel rei isn't covered. That's what makes it particularly disgusting. So even if these ashes were disgusting, they'd be covered. So it wouldn't be, you wouldn't have the heter of removing it because of graf shel rei. So Ella Amar Rava, Kiavinun be Rav Nachman. So rather, Rava says a third answer. What's the answer to the stira between the basket with the stone, which is a basl davar aser muksa, and the shovel with the ashes? So Rav Nachman explained, but when we were by Rav Nachman, have metaltalinan kinuna agav kitma. He said we used to be metaltal a kanuna, which is a type of klina choshes. Rashi says that they would bring fire in front of sarim l'schamim, that they would bring fire in front of important people to warm themselves. They would bring it agav the kitma. They would need they would bring it together with the ashes, which was the ikr. What they were really bringing is the ashes. Why did they need ashes. So Rashi says they needed the afar lechasos roko tsoa to cover saliva, to cover tsoa. They would have a use for the ashes. Essentially, what we're suggesting over here is our entire premise for the question was off base. The premise of our question was that the shovel with the ashes is a basel davar aser because the ashes are mukta. They have no use whatsoever. The ashes are something that has no use, and that's what makes them mukta. We're saying it's not true. We misunderstood. The ashes have plenty of use. The ashes are very chash of a thing. You're going to use them to cover roke, to cover tsoa, so the ashes are very important. And so much so that even if there's shivrei etzim, which happen to have no use in this on this shovel, but if there are ashes, ashes are chashuv, that's enough to make it a basel davar asel davar mutter. With the davar mutter being the ashes is with the davar mutter. That's the item that's not muktzah. So that's the final resolution to this stira, that it's not a stira at all. We just misunderstood the role that ashes would play. But wait a second, we said that both Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda agree that if a ner has shivrei psila, even Rabbi Shimon allows being metaltel a ner, if the ner has a broken wick, it's also to be metaltel. But wait a second, wouldn't the ner just become a basel sadavar asur uladavar mutter? After all, Rabbi Shimon holds that the shemen in the ner is mutter, everything else is mutter, it's just this broken wick that you have no use for. So why would you call that why would that be a problem? Wouldn't this be mutter based on the fact that it's basel davar asur uladavar mutter? This is just a general question on the heter that we said before, that if you have a basket that has rock and peros in it, we said that you're allowed to be metaltel because it's a basel davar asur uladavar mutter. So wouldn't you say the same thing over here? Samar Abaye b'galil shanu. So Abaye says, no, over here we're talking about in Galil. So what? Says Rashi in the first wide line, shechashuvos and shivrei psila, in Galil the broken pieces of wick are very chashuv, she'in begadim shel pishtan mitzuyin lahem, because they didn't have pishtan too much, hilkach lobatli v'nasen ner basaslan. Therefore, the wick is considered such a davar chashuv, it would never become batal to the other contents of the ner, and the ner is therefore a basis dafka for this wick, because it's a pishtan was such a chashuv thing in Galil. Now Tosfos points out, he says, "Pirush b'kunt shechashuvus on shivrei psilah shein b'gdei pishtan mitzuyin lahem veinir l'Rabbeinu Tam." Rabbeinu Tam doesn't agree with that. Amrin b'shili b'bekama lochir min anashim klei tzemer b'Yehuda uklei pishtan b'Galil. The Gemara in Baba Kama mentions parenthetically that you could take from women klei tzemer b'Yehuda. When we want to give an example of what you find in the towns of Yehuda, klei tzemer is all over Yehuda. And what about in Galil? Klei pishtan. Sounds like pishtan was something they had in abundance in Galil. How could Rashi say klei pishtan was something that was so uncommon that it became so chasher for them? So Mefarish Rabbeinu Tam has a different pshat. B'Galil shanu shayilam rov shemen. Now the point is not about the elevated chashivus of the pishtan, rather it's about the downgraded chashivus of shemen for people in Galil. Again, the whole kash of the Gemara was that shouldn't the ner be a basel davar aser ule davar mutter, because granted the psil is broken, so it's a davar aser, but the shemen is a davar mutter. So one way, the way Rashi understood the teretz is that the shemen doesn't count because the psil is so chashuv. We're only looking at the psila. The way Tosfos looks at it is that the psil is not so, the shemen doesn't count because the shemen is so not chashuv, not because the psila is so elevated that we only look at the psila. We only look at the psila because the shemen is nothing for people in Galil. They had rov shemen lachilo batli shivrei psila agav shemen, and he says he has a raya from the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Yud Aleph that shemen was something that they had a lot of. So in the Sefer Shabbos Shalmi, he points out a nafkamina between Rashi and Tosos if the davra asr and the davra mutter have equal chashivos. According to Rashi, we'd go l'chumra, it would be basas davra asr, it would be asr to be metaltel everything. And that's why in Galil they asr because of the shivrei psila, because of the shivrei psila were still chashuv be'inehem. Not that the shemen wasn't chashuv, but the fact that the shivrei psila were still chashuv was enough to make it basas davra asr. According to Rabbeinu Tam, you need the davra isr to be more chashuv than the davra mutter in order for it to be a basas davra asr. But if they're equally chashuv, then it would be mutter. And the reason in Galil that it was a problem is because that so much shemen that the psila was more chashuv than the shemen. That's how the Shabbos Shalmi suggests nafkamina between Rashi and Tosos. Okay, next discussion. Levi Bar Shmuel Ashkechinu Rabbi Abba Rav Huna Bar Chia. Levi Bar Shmuel found that Rabbi Abba and Rav Huna Bar Chia davukaimi apiskud veRav Huna that were standing by the doorway of Rav Huna. Amar Luhu, and he said to them. He asked them a shayla. Malu lahachzir mita shel tarsim v'shabbos. Can I reassemble a bed of a coppersmith or a weaver? Rashi has two deis what tarsim are on Shabbos. Is it permissible to reassemble such a bed on Shabbos? Apparently, they would have these beds that they would carry around. Rashi points out from city to city when they would travel to do the malacha, and you'd be able to take it apart for travel, like the Mishkan. You'd be able to take it apart for travel and reassemble it wherever you went. So what would the halacha be? Are they allowed to reassemble it on Shabbos? Some relay Shabbos dami said, yeah, it's no problem. Asal kamed Rav Yehuda Amar Harav Shmuel Dami Tavaya Machzor Mitzvah Shel Tarsim B'Shabbos Chayiv Chatos. So he said this in front of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said, what are you talking about? Rav and Shmuel both said, Yechayv Chatos, not only is it not mutter, it's also midah raisa, Yechayv a carbon for this. So Meisvei, the Gemara Samachs, we call him an Orbe Shabbos, Chayiv Chatos. We said that if you put together a branches of a menorah on Shabbos, you're Chayiv Chatos. If you have a menorah with removable branches and you put them together on Shabbos, you're Chayiv Chatos. Kana Sayadin, Lo Yachzir, the stick of Sayadin, you're not supposed to put together Vavim Hichzir Patel Velasr. If you do put it together, it's Patel Velasr. Rashi explains the kind of sayyadin is when they would plaster a house, they would use the stick to apply the plaster on the house. So when they were on the bottom of the house, the stick had to be short because it was right next to them. But when they had to reach high places, they would put extra poles into the stick to make it a longer stick to reach higher places. So it was something that would constantly be made bigger and smaller by adding more pieces to it. So you're not supposed to be maxir, but if you are maxir, it's pater avalasir, because it's not considered like a gemar kli when you put it together, because it's constantly being put together and taken apart. Sometimes you need it bigger, sometimes you need it smaller. By the menorah, when you put it together, you know when the menorah is complete. When you have all the branches in, oh, that's the menorah. Over here, you have all the sticks in. That doesn't make it complete, it just makes it, now you're able to reach the top part of the house. So sometimes you want it smaller to reach the bottom part of the house. Rabbi Simai Omer, Karen Agula Chayiv, Karen Pshuta Pater. When it comes to musical instruments, a certain type of horn, if it's round, you're Chayiv when you put it together. If it's straight, it's Pater. So what's the Kasha? The Kasha is that from Kani Menorah, from the first case of the branches of Menorah, we said you're Chayiv, and Lechora, the same would be true of Mita Shel Parsim. That seems to be the one that aligns mostly with this bed that they would carry around with them, that these weavers or these coppersmiths would carry around with them, seems to be aligned mostly with the case of Kana Shel Menorah. So how can you say that the Kana Shel Menorah, how can you say that the Mita Shel Tarsim is Shapir Dami, that it's Mutter? I don't you know that Kana Menorah Yichayev Chatos for? So Inudam Ruki Aitana. So says Gemara, well, it's a Machlokas Tanaim. Maybe they hold, like Rabbi Shimon holds, that it's Mutter L'Charchila. Where do we have the Shitas Rabbi Shimon? The Tanya, we have a Braisa as follows. Malbinos Hamita, Kros Hamita, Ulevachim Shel Sakivas, Lo Yachzir V'im Hichzir Pater. These different parts of the bed, the bedposts, and the different and Levachim Shel Sakivas. Rashi says Eitz Katan Kmin Daf Shetoken Bekeshes Shekoren Al Bashtera Shalav Moshe Chachetz. It's some type of little piece that they would stick into a bow for the bow and arrow to help guide the arrow. So Lo Yachzir, you're not allowed to put it back on. V'im Hichzir Pater Avalaser. But if you do put it back in, then if you do put that piece back in, then it's Pater Avalaser. V'lo Yitka V'im Taka Chayev Chatas. And you're not allowed to stick it in very strongly, and if you do stick it in very strongly, you're going to be chayiv chatos. Rabbi Shimon Liel Omer, im hayaraf way mutter, that if it was loose, then it's completely mutter. So maybe he's just assuming, like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that it's mutter to take pieces that are somewhat loose and reassemble the pieces. So that's not a kasha, it's just a machlokes tanaim, and that's why it's going to be mutter. Right? That's what Tosafot points out. El Nami, Mari Barafoy. And you have to say that the previous case where they said Shapir Dami, that it's okay to put together the Mita Shel Parsim, is talking about in a loosened kind of way. The Kashuk Sas Tosa says, typically, when you have a machlokas, the machlokas won't be from one extreme to another. Typically, if one person says chayv chatos, the other one will say patra v'laser, that it's at least asr midrabanan. If one person says mutal chachila, the other one will say asr midrabanan. You very rarely have two extremes like this: chayv chatos and shapir dami, completely mutter. How could it work out that way? They have two such extremes. Va'od ha'in binyan v'stira b'kelim. And furthermore, there's no din of binyan v'stira b'kelim. So why would you be chayiv chatos? Does it even make sense to say chayiv chatos when you're putting together a kli? Va'od tikshon rav. That's the machlokz v'sham v'sil. We refer to yesterday. V'sil holds ein binyan v'stira b'kelim. There's no isra of bona by kelim. Va'od tikshon rav Yehuda ach brisa delakatana demachayiv chatos. This brisa should be a kashon rav Yehuda, because rav Yehuda said that you chayiv chatos. And what do we have in this brisa that is patra v'laser and imhayu rafui mutter? No one that says chayiv chatas for putting it together in a way that's rafui, in a way that's not tightly put together. So the yeshlomer dachi kamel el harav shmuel darmit havaya maxim mitas shaltsim b'shabes chayiv chatas kisheino rafui. We misunderstood the whole stira. The whole kasha was not that Rav and Shmuel said Yechayev Chatas. Rav and Shmuel said Yechayev Chatas only in a different case entirely. When you tighten it really well. That wasn't our case. That wasn't the case that we were asking about the Mita Shel Tarsim. The Mita Shel Tarsim we were talking about in the case of Rafui. But that was the kasha. The kasha was that how can you say the Mita Shel Tarsim is Mutal Chachila in a case where you tighten it really well, Rav and Shmuel would hold Chayev Chatas and therefore misstop. In the case where you don't tighten it really well, they would hold patra v'laser. They would hold that it's asamid rabbanan. So that's the stira we're asking. How can you say that it's mutal l'chadchila? Rav and Shmuel both say asamid rabbanan when it's roughly. Answer, we have a brisa that has two deals when it's roughly. Either it's mutal l'chadchila like Rav Shimon Gamliel, or asamid rabbanan like Rav and Shmuel. So the two deals in the brisa line up perfectly with these two deals in Amoraim. Says the Gemara further now, second line, Bei Rav Chama have a matar galal nisa have mahadilo biyom tova. Amli umid rabban l'rava mai detech. So in Bei Rav Chama they had like this mita shel of galal nisa. Mita galal nisa was similar to the mita shel tarsiim. It was very similar to the weaver's or coppersmith's bed, and they would put it together in yom tov. So amli umid rabban l'rava mai detech. So the rabban said to Rava, Hahumi rabban said to Rava, why do you think this is okay? Binyan minatzaru, you think it's considered like binyan minatzar, it's not considered to be attached really well, and therefore it's like a shinoi, and that's why it's okay. Nihiti isur daraisa laki isur darabad miyaika. Granted, that should solve the problem that it won't be an isur daraisa, but it should still be an isur darabanan. He says, no, when it's not put together really well, when it's not fastened in tightly, I hold like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds that it's mutter. We just had a brisa that when it's not fastened tightly, there are two deos in Tanaim, that it's either patra avalasar or mutter l'chadchila, and I happen to hold that it's mutter l'chadchila. Period. Says the Gemara now, last Mishnah in Parakira. Nosen kli tachas haner lekabel nitzotos. Person is allowed to put a kli underneath a ner in order to catch the sparks that fly out from the ner. But v'lo yitein l'tocha mayim ibreshu mechabe. But you can't put water in that kli that's underneath the ner, because then when the sparks fly into that kli, it's going to be kibu. You're going to be extinguishing those sparks, and that you're not allowed to do. So frak the Gemara. Wait a second. First on the first halacha, there were two halachas in this Mishnah. That you're not allowed, that you are allowed to put the kli there, and number two, that you're not allowed to put water in the kli. So why are you allowed to put the kli there? V'akamivatel kli meichano. Isn't that being mevatel kli meichano? Because the kli is going to catch muksa items, and then the kli itself is going to become muksa. It's going to become basal davar aser. It's catching these flames. So isn't that a problem of being mevatel kli meichano on Shabbos? Samaravunu b'rei Rav Shua nitzotos sein ben mamish. Nah, it's not being mevatel kli meichano because the kli doesn't catch nitzotos that then sit in the kli. The nitzotos disappear. It's ain't ben mamish. They're not. There's no substance to the nitzotos, and therefore the kli remains mutter to be metaltel. Now on to the second halach in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "V'lo yitein l'tocho mayim mepnei shu mechabe." That you're not allowed to put water in the kli because it's going to extinguish the nitzotzos that fall into the kli. So, frankly, Gemara, this seems to be in line with only one shita in Tanaim. Lema tran stomach Rabbi Yossi. Because is this really being mechabe? What are you doing? You're putting water in a kli, and then at some later point, nitzotzos are going to shoot out of the ner and land in the kli. That's called you being mechabe. No, at the most, it's grand kibui, that you're indirectly causing kibui to happen at some later time. So this Mishnah seems to be taking a stand, not on kibui, but on gram kibui. That gram kibui, apparently, according to this Mishnah, is aser. So it says Mishnah limits on stomach Rabbi Yossi. Sounds like we're assuming that Rabbi Yossi, damar gram gorim le kibui aser, holds that even gram kibui is aser. Where do we have such a sheet of Rabbi Yossi? So Rashi points out, it's in Parakol Kisvei HaKodesh. The Gemara talks about you make a mechitza bekalak if you have a fire and you want to stop the fire from spreading, so you could take kelim full of water and surround the fire with these kelim full of water. When the fire hits the kelim, it will burst through the kelim, the water will come out, and the water will extinguish the fire. Rabbi Yossi says you're not allowed to do this with klei cheres chadashim le'amayim that are not able to withstand the fire, because that's going to be gram kibui. That gram kibui is us as well. That the fact that you're planning on the kelim breaking and then the water coming out and extinguishing the fire is itself a problem of gram kibui. Now Tosfos points out, right off the bat, the Gemara could have easily rejected this kasha. What are we saying? That our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yossi, that gram kibui is aser? Have a matzi lemeimer ulutaymeich, ha Rabbi Yossi gufeilo amra ele bedeleika mishum da'adam ba'al al mamono. Why does Rabbi Yossi hold gram kibui is aser over there? Because he's worried that if we allow gram kibui, you're going to come to be mechaba the fire directly, because you don't want the fire to spread and destroy all of your property. Yisharina le'yasi l'chbui. It's really a gzeira of gram kibui, that you're afraid it's going to go and extend and destroy all your property. But over here, there's no reason to make any such gezeira. Because there's a kli to catch anything. It's not spreading anywhere anyway. So there's no urgency to try to get rid of it. So Tosfos says this is just a rule in Shas. A lot of times we make a statement that can easily be rejected, but we don't reject it with the easy rejection, because we have another rejection. We have another way to resolve it. So says the Gemara, anyway, this is the way we're going to resolve this. V'tizbra, emur da amar Rabbi Yossi b'Shabbos, b'erev Shabbos mi'amar. Now, our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Yossi, that gram kibui is asur, because anyway, do you think our Mishnah would be going like Rabbi Yossi? Even Rabbi Yossi, only asur, is doing it on Shabbos, not on erev Shabbos. And over here, our Mishnah is talking about that it's asur to even fill the kli with water on erev Shabbos. So our Mishnah must be telling us something different. It's not about gram kibui, it's about something much more severe, so severe that you're not even allowed to do it on Erev Shabbos. So we need to get some other insight into our Mishnah that we don't yet have. Unless you think that our Mishnah is talking about Shabbos, not Erev Shabbos, Vatanya, we have a favorite from Braisa that makes it abundantly clear that it's talking about Erev Shabbos as well. The Braisa says, you're allowed to put a kli under the ner even on Shabbos, and of course Erev Shabbos. That's the first halach in our Mishnah. May Erev Shabbos, Vein Tzorach L'Omer Shabbos. And the second halacha in the Mishnah, that you're not allowed to put water in the kli, is true on Erev Shabbos, and obviously Shabbos as well. But you see clearly in the Brayso that the Mishnah is even talking on Erev Shabbos. Ella Amar Rav Ashi, Afilu Teim Rabbanon, Shaini Hachem Reisho Mekari V'Skibuyo. This has nothing to do with Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanon. Even the Rabbanon, who permit Gram Kibui, would not allow putting the water in the kli on Erev Shabbos, because Mekari V'Skibuyo, says Rashi, to lo dummy the Gram Kibui. This isn't gram kibui, da hasam kimati dleikulukhem, dleikulhu de pakaluhu vagrama bialmahu. Over there it's more indirect, in the case in Kol Kisvei, because over there, in order for the fire to become extinguished, it first has to burst all of these kelim. That's a gram kibui. But over here, aval zeshe, nasnamai mamish tachas aner, mechabe mamishu, ugzer mi baudiyam atu mishach hashecha. But this is really called mechabe. You're putting water directly underneath the ner. That's really mechabe. Says Tosfos, that's mechabe. Hey, you're not doing anything to a fire. What do you mean it's mechabe? Because nitzotzos might fly out later. That's going to be called mechabe. Tosfos points out over here, the concern is that as you're putting the water there, you might pick up the plate as a spark is flying out, or you might pour the water as a spark is flying out, and then it will turn out that you accidentally poured the water directly on a spark. And that's mechabes. So it's almost like a gzeira l'gzeira, that you're not allowed to pour the water in, because you might do, even on Erev Shabbos, because you might pour the water in on Shabbos, and even if you do it on Shabbos, it might do it when the spark is coming into the plate as you're pouring the water, and then it's going to be mechabe. Typically, we don't make That sometimes we do make a gzera l'gzera. Sometimes when the rabbanon were very concerned, they would make a gzera l'gzera. It's not just that we never make a gzera l'gzera. Sometimes we would go out of our way to make a gzera l'gzera. Tosfos on the bottom says, wait a second, what about the very common practice that if people have an oil lamp, what they'll often do is they'll pour water in it to raise the oil higher in the lamp. They don't want to fill the whole thing with oil. It's going to be a waste of oil. They only need 1 hour of oil to be lit. So they'll pour water on the bottom to make the oil higher. Should that be asked to do even May Erev Shabbos? Because this is on May Erev Shabbos now, our Mishnah. Should that be asked to do? So he says, no, that's not a problem. Ein ze karoi kiruv kiboy, dekiven shei miskavin le kiboy klal, el lagbias Hashem lo shayach le migzer midi. He says, the whole reason gzeru mishum kiboy. When is it gzeru mishum kiboy? When the function of the water is to be mechaba something. You pour the water in the plate in our Mishnah so that when the sparks come out, you'll be mechaba those sparks. But over here, it's not about the being mechaba anything. When you're just trying to raise the oil, it's not, you're not even trying to be mechaba. Hazmel Kira, that's the end of Parakira. Now we move on to Bemet Tomun. We'll just read the Mishnah. Bemet Tomun, Bemet Ein Tomun. What can you do Atmanu with on Erev Shabbos? What can you not do Atmanu with on Erev Shabbos? Now, Erev Shabbos Halach is you can't be Matmun with Dovra Mosif Hevel. So we're only going to focus on, so it's essentially what the Mishnah is asking is, what is a Dovra Mosif Hevel that you're not even allowed to insulate with on Erev Shabbos? Saying Tomun, Lo Begefes, you're not allowed to use Gefes, which is the remnants of a base Habad, of an oil press, of an olive press, v'lo b'zevel, v'lo b'melech, v'lo b'sid, v'lo b'chol, b'nachon, b'nivation. All of these materials you're not allowed to use, whether they are moist, whether they're dry, either way they're going to be mosif hevel. V'lo b'tevin, v'lo b'zogin, v'lo b'mochin, v'lo b'asavin, b'zman shein lachin, avol tom ben k'shein nivation. Then there's a whole list of other items, which the Gemara is going to describe what these items are, a whole list of other items that you're only not allowed to be tomin with them, you're only not allowed to be matmin with them when they are moist, but when they're dry, they aren't most of any hevel. Okay, we'll pick up from the Gemara Bez Hashem tomorrow.